And so you can see how that, although whilst not using that torn muscle in the short term, is temporarily going to eliminate the pain of the torn muscle. In the long term, it's going to cause significant other complications, let alone health issues. Welcome to Everything in Between, the health and wellness podcast that believes that health is so much more than just what we eat and how we move our bodies. It's everything in between. I'm Raquel Robello, a clinical nutritionist, the face behind Radical, and your host. Good morning. It is so nice to be back in your ears on this fine Monday morning. I feel as if the weeks are flying. We are nearly in May, and I know that I sound like a broken freaking record, but we're rolling with it because, yeah, I just, each year just seems to go faster. And I struggle to keep up with the fact that life is just going so fast. But nonetheless, I digress. On today's episode, we are following up on from episode 23, which is where we covered the most common complaint that I see in clinic with my clients, and that is, of course, bloating. And so if you haven't listened to episode 23, I definitely recommend that you give that a listen before you listen to today's episode, as in that episode, episode 23, we covered what specifically is bloating. Is it normal? When is it normal? And the most common reasons as to why you may be experiencing more bloating on a plant-forward diet. So it gives you a nice foundational background. And then in today's episode, we're going to specifically talk about how to mitigate and reduce that discomfort associated with bloating on a plant-based diet. So given that it is so incredibly common and, of course, very interesting, I thought that it would be of value to you to specifically go through the strategies and techniques for those specific reasons as to why you may be experiencing more bloating. So without further ado, let's get straight into it and give you the juicy details that I know you are here for. So the first reason that we covered in episode 23 as to why you may be experiencing more bloating on a plant-based diet is the fact that there is more fiber on a plant-based diet. So the question is, when is it too much fiber? And how do we know when we need to potentially cut down on fiber, or at a very minimum, just be a bit more conscious of that increased fiber load? So without too much fluff, let's get straight into it. Because if you are struggling with the increase of fiber on a plant-based diet, I want you to think of it in the following way. If you were to tear a muscle in your leg, right, does that mean that you are now going to buy a motorized scooter and stop walking, let alone exercising for the rest of your life? Obviously not. Of course, if you were to never walk, let alone use that muscle again, the pain will naturally, temporarily disappear. However, in doing so, you soon will notice a lack of strength. And of course, muscle atrophy, meaning a loss of muscle tone. And soon, of course, you will notice a host of other changes, whether it's body composition, mental health deterioration, the list goes on. And so you can see how that, although whilst not using that torn muscle in the short term, is temporarily going to eliminate the pain of the torn muscle. In the long term, it's going to cause significant other complications, let alone health issues. And so you really do need to approach fiber the same way on a plant-based diet. So instead of doing the above, you instead, right, in the context of a quote torn muscle, you would do physical rehab with a physio. You would strengthen that torn muscle. You would potentially do a light walk every day. And soon you notice the pain has lessened, your strength has improved, and you can maintain your health throughout that healing restorative process. And the same is true with fiber on a plant-based diet. So with that in mind, I have specific tips and strategies to reduce bloating from fiber specifically on a vegan / plant-based diet. And I'm going to list to you now my five top clinical recommendations that I always give to my clients in their treatment plans. First and foremost, if this is applicable to you, I would encourage you to increase your fiber intake gradually when adopting a more plant-based diet / vegan diet. So we'll use the easy example, right, of chickpeas. Let's say that chickpeas are causing you severe bloating and discomfort since experimenting with more plant-based recipes, okay? Instead of using half a can, so that's around 200 grams, as the recipe suggests, I would recommend that you halve that amount. So you would use a quarter of the can, which is 100 grams, right? And if that is too much chickpea for your gut to digest, I would take it back even further. Start with 2 tablespoons, 4 tablespoons. Monitor how your symptoms and your gut feels. And once you've found that happy medium and you've got no symptoms, you can very conservatively and very slowly increase the amount of that food. It really is as simple as that. And I know it sounds easier said than done, in a sense that it is time consuming and seems a little bit monotonous. It truly is a way of getting your gut adjusted to that increased fiber load. And I would say another helpful tip is that whilst you're increasing that fiber intake naturally by consuming more plant-based foods, it can be really beneficial to swap lower fiber alternatives. So for example, if you are cooking with brown rice, swap it for white rice. If you are having a tofu scramble for breakfast, potentially use a less seedy whole grain bread and swap it for a more refined version. I know in the context of quote health, and I'm saying that with quotation marks, we're told that a lower fiber alternative is quote less healthy. In the context of getting your gastrointestinal system accustomed to the increased fiber load, really can make a massive difference, particularly in the context of consuming a more varied and diverse range of plant-based whole foods. It really can help in the interim. Second to that, I would say peeling and of course cooking your raw fruits and veggies is drastically going to help reduce bloating and abdominal discomfort associated with those very fibrous, naturally very healthy yet high fiber foods. Third to that, and this is kind of going off what I just said before, which is just swapping some lower fiber alternatives specifically for your protein sources. So for example, in a curry, instead of relying on chickpeas as your main source of protein and adding a whole can of chickpeas or 2 cans of chickpeas in there for your protein source, I'd recommend that you halve the chickpea amount and add a lower fiber protein alternative. So whether that's tofu or tempeh, opposed to relying on the legume specifically for your protein intake at every single meal. That is also drastically going to help keep your fiber intake in a healthy, normal range, as opposed to an amount that is going to cause obvious severe gastrointestinal discomfort. The next tip is that naturally, as you increase your fiber intake, your water intake definitely needs to increase as well. And this is because of the fact that the soluble fiber in our colon soaks up water, which helps to soften stool, just making it easier to pass regular bowel movement. So that is also going to be drastically important. And again, like I touched on before with the lower fiber alternatives, you know, swapping brown rice and quinoa for white rice, we've been told that these foods are less healthy, but in actuality, if it helps us to eat more plant-based, let alone eat more varied whole foods, in that context, I see absolute zero issue with it. And also, interestingly, from a nutritional standpoint, right, if we were to just compare rice, we've been told on social media that white rice is inherently, quote, bad or unhealthy, and white rice is, quote, healthy and nutritious, when in actuality, the only real difference is the glycemic index, meaning the, you know, how quickly our blood sugar spikes. But even then, that is quite a reductionist way of looking at food, because no one's just eating a meal of rice. That rice is in the context of eating tofu and coconut milk and, you know, the entirety of the meal. And that is going to change the glycemic load, meaning the overall glycemic effect of the meal. So yeah, I would definitely be swapping for lower fiber alternatives if you are new to a plant-based diet and you're experiencing gastrointestinal related discomfort, meaning bloating, swelling, cramping with that increased fiber load. So I would definitely look into that and see where in your diet, and usually the grains are an easy way of swapping, as well as the protein sources, an easy way of reducing fiber whilst not minimizing that varied diversity of plant-based whole foods. Now, moving on, as we covered in episode 23, the second reason why you may be more bloated on a vegan or plant-based diet is, of course, of the one superfood that I love, which is beans, okay? Now, fortunately, there are a few preparation tips and tricks that you can adopt with beans and other legumes as a means of making it more kind on our tummy's digestion. And so if you're using dry beans for cooking, I want you to first of all rinse thoroughly before cooking the beans. And second to that, you need to soak the dry legumes overnight in water just to help release some of that indigestible carbohydrates. And then second to that, when you do actually cook the legumes, you need to ensure that you cook the beans fully until they're nice and soft and tender. And this is because that when we cook the legumes, we actually, like I said, help to just remove some of that indigestible carbohydrate. But second to that, there has also been studies that have been shown just adding a few bay leaves or even seaweed. So I haven't done the seaweed because I'm not a huge seaweed fan. And by that, I mean, I don't like it at all, but adding a bay leaf, let alone some seaweed, can be really beneficial, as these two foods do contain certain enzymes that can help aid in further digesting those fermentable carbohydrates that legumes naturally contain. So you could also try that. And then if you are using the tinned / canned legumes, what I'd want you to do in the context of reducing bloating and abdominal discomfort associated with eating them is to ensure that you remove the liquid from the can thoroughly by rinsing it until it's clear. So you'll notice that when you, for example, let's say chickpeas, when you rinse the chickpeas in a colander, it's quite foamy. So you want to ensure that you rinse it to the extent that there's no foam, there's no bubbles, there's no froth, and it's just the chickpea. So that's also going to be incredibly important. I personally use BPA-free canned beans, as I just personally find that responds to my gut a lot better, as well as, of course, just rinsing it thoroughly and cooking the legumes thoroughly until they're tender and soft does the trick for me. So I would just encourage you to experiment and just play around with what's going to work best for you. Initially, I was buying the dried legumes because they are cheaper and more cost effective. But I found soaking it for 12 hours and the whole process was just too much for me with my schedule and routine, and it just meant that I either was skipping it altogether, which would cause gastrointestinal discomfort, or on the flip side, it meant that I just wasn't eating these really healthy legumes. So this is what works best for me, and this is why I'm saying you need to find what works best for you. And third of all, the next reason why we discussed you may be more bloated on a vegan or plant-based diet in episode 23 was, of course, just naturally the large volume of food that you consume on a plant-based diet. And in a lot of contexts like weight maintenance, I discussed how this is, of course, an advantage, but really from a digestive perspective, it can cause some unwanted bloating. So, of course, there are some really easy and straightforward tips and tricks that you can try to help alleviate the bloating from voluminous eating. And this is, of course, first of all, it's going to sound really simple and easy, but this is just making sure that you do, in fact, break up your energy intake over an equal amount of meals or smaller amount of meals throughout the day. So instead of having two massive meals a day where you're having a huge volume of food in two sittings, I'd encourage you to do four sittings. So four servings of food equally spaced throughout the day, just to help reduce the amount of food that your body has to process and digest at once. And so in my one-on-one consultations and meal plans, I will always aim to break up the meals equally between breakfast, lunch, and dinner, as well as, of course, with the 1 to 2 snacks, depending on what the client wants, just to ensure that there's a regularity and consistency with mealtime instead of this irregular, erratic, really large volumes of food that come inconsistently. Second to that, I would say always choosing a cooked vegetable over raw vegetables, as this is, I spoke about this a touch before with fiber, but it just really helps with easing of digestion. And it's also going to reduce volume. If you've seen a large bag of spinach and then you've cooked it and you see how it just reduces the volume to none. So just ensuring that you're cooking your vegetables as opposed to eating them raw. Third of all, I would say definitely avoid consuming too much liquid during mealtime. So make sure you're drinking sufficient, adequate water either pre-meal or after meal, but not necessarily during the meal. And then another note is that, of course, you need to ensure that if you struggle to meet your calorie intake, let alone energy requirements, so, you know, you're always hungry, just focusing on those calorie-dense foods, which are predominantly our healthy fats. So whether that's avocado, extra virgin olive oil, nuts and seeds, and so on, making sure that you're adding that to your meal so that you're nice and full and you're not having to have 3 massive plates of food in order to feel satisfaction and fullness. And moving on, as we covered in episode 23, the next reason as to why you may be more bloated, and this is regardless of a plant-based diet, and this is stress, okay? Because stress awakens our nervous system, which in turn is going to affect our digestive process, and that results in a host of symptoms, whether it's cramps, pain, irregular bowel movements, so constipation / diarrhea, and of course, bloating. And so this is one reason why I always love preaching mindful eating, because it genuinely helps bring a state of presence and relaxation when we eat. And that in turn is going to drastically improve digestion and therefore reduce that prevalency of bloating. So I really want you to think about it. How often do you sit at the table? You don't scroll, you eat your food with intention without any interruptions, and you savor and enjoy every single bite. Now, if you find yourself mindlessly eating as you browse through your morning emails, let alone scroll on Instagram, it's really time to just slow it down. And I understand this is going to be a lot more difficult for, let's say, moms or those who work 2 full-time jobs or, you know, whatever the context is. But I really do encourage you in any capacity that you can to just slow down, even if it is just for 5 minutes once you eat. And, you know, this even goes as far as chewing your food properly, because digestion actually starts in the mouth. And so by doing this, you're making sure that the mouth's enzymes have a chance to start breaking down the food that you're consuming before it's even been swallowed. And so eating too quickly is going to result in not only that lack of digestion from those enzymes in your mouth, but also swallowing way too much air, which is going to cause trapped wind and gas and discomfort in the abdomen. And last of all, when we are mindlessly eating, we're not even taking into account how full or hungry we are. And we're swallowing that first bite of food whilst we've simultaneously got the next bite of food already in our mouth. Like there is just a total lack of intention and presence. And so I would really encourage you, where possible, to just try and slow down that meal, to chew thoroughly and to bring intention to mealtime. Another remedy that I actually recommend all the time to my clients on, I would say, weekly, if not fortnightly basis, is peppermint. And that's because our intestine muscles can be drastically relaxed with peppermint. It helps with the release of stored gas, which of course is going to lessen bloating and other IBS-like symptoms. And certain studies have found that IBS-specific symptoms decrease by 44% more frequently in the peppermint oil group as opposed to the placebo group, which obviously received a placebo. And this was in a 2019 meta-analysis by memory. I'll add the the study below in the show notes for you. But yeah, the placebo group versus the peppermint group showed a 44%. So that's nearly 50%, nearly half a reduction in IBS-like symptoms. So that is definitely something to not sleep on. I personally love peppermint tea before bed. But yeah, you find what works best for you. And then in episode 23, we covered how the last reason as to why you may be bloated and how obviously we can mitigate that. And again, this is irrespective of following a plant-based diet or not. And that is constipation, because it's one of the main causes of bloating, surprisingly, in a lot of people. So if this is you, the first rule of thumb is to increase your fiber if you are constipated, to drink more water, to help exercise, to help stimulate and encourage bowel movements. But of course, if that doesn't work, and I know that is the context for a lot of people, there are other techniques and tips to try. First being psyllium husk, so around 5 to 10 grams of that per day. Otherwise, you could try 2 kiwi fruits a day, or even trying flaxseed/linseeds. I usually opt for the 2 kiwi fruits a day, as that usually does the trick. This isn't an old wives' tale. It's actually rooted in a lot of clinical studies, particularly for those with IBS. So I definitely recommend, if you are constipated and you think that that is a reason for your bloating, to either try 2 kiwi fruits a day or a tablespoon of psyllium husk in your smoothie, and see if that does the trick. But of course, there is no one size fits all for mitigating, controlling, and reducing bloating on a vegan or plant-based diet, or let alone any diet, okay? And this is because the basis of what causes the bloating can be different for everyone. It's multifaceted, and so everyone will likely respond and react differently to different treatment plans with different tips and strategies. And so this is a really good place to start if you have no idea how to tackle your bloating. But you know, as is most things in nutritional science, for one client, it might be a simple and quick change of simply just rinsing their beans, cooking them thoroughly, and they're off on their way and they've got no bloating anymore. And they just needed to be a little bit more mindful with their eating and so on. And then for other clients, it's of course a lot multifaceted, a lot more nuanced, and it requires a lot more trial and error, and individualized treatment and strategy and supplementation. And so if you are the latter, this is your reminder that I do offer limited amounts of one-on-one consultations every single week. So if you believe that you would benefit from a more individualized clinical approach, send me a message on Instagram or have a look on my website. The information is always down below in the show notes for your reference, but I think we are going to leave it there. I really hope that you found this episode helpful and of value. As always, I really appreciate whenever I receive a DM or someone coming up to me and saying that they really enjoyed X episode and what they took away, what they resonated with. I actually had someone come up to me today at the gym and they're like, I listened to your podcast and I really like it. It's so beautiful and I really resonated with XYZ, and it's just really lovely. It's a really nice way to build connection and have conversation outside strictly of nutrition and fitness and talk about everything in between. If you have a friend that you think would benefit from listening to this episode, please send them a link and share the love. Of course, for content on every other day of the week, you can find me on both TikTok and Instagram at Radikel. But for now, don't forget to embrace everything in between, and I'll be back in your ears next Monday.